We're going to talk today about the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness, or you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's where we're at in this series. We've got one more to go. And the way we've been talking about it, we're going to keep talking about it that way. God's given us this kind of borderline saying, don't do this. This is outside of what I want for you. But what is it that he wants for us that he's protecting? So I want to go right into it. And what he's asking in a more affirming way to say it would be, you shall bless and be blessed by the truth. You shall bless others and be blessed by the truth. The truth is essential. Jesus says, I am the way. What does he say next? The truth and the life. There's no one that comes to the Father but by me. It is through truth that we come to the Father, that we receive life from the Son. It is honesty that is required before God. Honesty about who we are, what we've done, and why Jesus had to die. So that's almost part of confession, isn't it? Telling the truth to God, agreeing with God about what's true about who we are, what we've done. So truth is just so important to God. And he wants it at the very beginning. He's setting this special community to bear witness to the entire world. That he's going to bless them so that they're a blessing to others. And what he wants them to be is a nation and a people committed to truth in every realm of human endeavors. That's why we get to number one. Number one, this commandment applies to the whole realm of human relationships. There are no exemptions for this commandment. Shading the truth, telling mistruths, misrepresenting the truth, it does not matter. The reason I say that is because some people hear that that old King James kind of version, thou shalt not bear false witness. Excuse me, throat's getting dry. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And they say, well, that has to do with courtroom and official things. And, you know, shading the truth here or there, telling, quote unquote, you've heard it, white lies, you hear that expression. No such thing. Lies are black as the devil. You know, like this, there's no good way to tell a lie. And that sounds very unilateral, but you're going to have to go in Scripture to see if I'm wrong about that. Now, the thing is, talking about lying, I don't think there's anybody here. How many of you think lying's great? Everybody love lying? You know, how many of you here have lied in your lifetime? Raise your hand. Okay, so we all know it's not good. We've all done it, so we're not going to put any pretenses about us here. We've lied about big things. We've lied about little things until we learn how not to lie or how to tell the truth, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit in love. But that's important. So it's talking about the whole realm of human dignity. There's no aspect of our life where God does not desire truth-telling on the part of his people. That we should be committed to truth, living in a truthful way, speaking the truth to one another. And so that translation of bearing false witness is more about telling lies about others or to others. It involves what we do with one another. It's very hard to lie without another person. You can, I guess, lie to yourself. That's true too, isn't it? We should tell the truth about ourselves. But how many of you have found that's pretty difficult sometimes to see things as they really are? The Bible says that every human being does what is right in their own eyes. Not what is right in God's eyes, but what is right in their own eyes. That our hearts, the Bible tells us later on, are desperately wicked. We don't even know our own hearts. In other words, we lie to ourselves on a regular basis. We lie to ourselves about other people's motives. We don't know. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know why. Just turn to them. Just say that right now. I don't know why. Keep looking at them. You do what you do. I don't know why. See, the problem is so often we get in arguments not because of why somebody did something, but because of why we think they did it, right? Isn't that true? And so the mind reading, the stuff we do are ways of telling lies to ourselves about others. And the Bible calls that vain imagination. And when we tell these things about ourselves and others, it causes problems as well. But I also want to say the next thing underneath number one there in your notes, underneath that translation, you shall not tell lies about others, is that partial truth is often a way of lying. Partial truth is often a way of lying. Not always, but often, most likely. And that's when we talk, if there's a word, it's not really used very often, it's called praetory. It's a way of saying the truth deceptively, using the truth deceptively. I'll give you an example of what praetory would be. And I don't think we'll bring this back into use, that word, but just to understand. It'd be when a mother takes her child and they're sitting in a high chair or on the chair in the kitchen, and they haven't eaten their supper, and there's a little jar of cookies on the counter, and the mother has to leave the room. She can't just watch over that kid to make sure he eats what he's supposed to eat. And she tells that child, "Don't you get up from your chair and get one of those cookies. Don't you do it while I'm gone." And so then a mother leaves, and maybe a helpful sibling comes in. Now, I didn't have a helpful sibling. I had a sibling, not a helpful one. So it's hard to imagine. But just go with me for a minute and pretend that this sibling of yours wants to help you, or a sibling of this child wants to help them. And so they come into the room, and they kind of sneak in and say, "Where's Mom?" "Oh, she's upstairs. She'll be, you know." So, "Well, go get me one of those cookies. You got to have one. I didn't have one yet." And they're like, "I don't know. Well, I can't get out of this chair." So the child goes over and gets the cookie, gives it to the kid, and runs out of the room before Mom gets back. The kid gobbles down the cookie. The mom comes back in. What does she ask? She said, "Did you get out of your chair and eat one of those?" And the child says, "No, Mother. I never got out of my chair." Is the child lying? Yes, they are. They did have one of those cookies. And they use the truth to deceive, right? And there's ways we do that. We use the truth to deceive. Matter of fact, just as an aside, we don't need to talk about that. Julie said to stick to my notes today. I'm going to try to stick to my notes. So the thing is, we do these things to one another. We all know it's true. We give ourselves excuses for the untruths we tell, the ways we shade the truth. And there's a way of telling stories about conflicts we've had, about people in our life, as we tell them to others, that we shade the truth. We make our part of it noble or important, our intentions always pure and good, and we attribute to them poor motives, poor intentions, poor actions, and we tell the story, you know, where we come out the hero or the victim, and the other person comes out the villain. These are ways of deceiving and lying about others, and it's what God wants to stop before it even begins among his people. Because it causes hurt, it causes division, and it's wrong, and God detests it. Matter of fact, it's sin, so God hates it. And he wants to build a community that's based on truth, no matter how painful that truth might be. And one of the things that he says about our truth and about ourselves is that our mouth reveals our heart. Our mouth reveals our heart. In other words, you are judged by the way you use your mouth. You are judged. As a matter of fact, Jesus speaks much more about how we talk about one another than you might think. You should go through the Gospels and read it. And the Bible speaks about gossip and about vain imagination and our talking to one another and all sorts of other things regarding how we talk about one another. One of the examples is the brother of Jesus, James, who wrote the book of James in the Bible. He says the tongue is a fire. Is a fire. Fires aren't good to touch, are they? You know, they're deadly. You get too close, what happens? You get burned. He says your tongue is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts your whole body. In other words, your whole life. And it sets the course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in his image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. So we hear this and many more statements in Scripture, both from Christ, all the apostles in their letters, and in the Old Testament as well, how dangerous it is to let our tongues loose. How good have we been in our lifetime about doing that, church? Anybody batting 1,000 on that one? No way. Turn to your neighbor and say, just turn to him. Go ahead and look at him. Go ahead and tell him. Just look at him and say, "You say the wrong things. What's done?" Did they say it back to you? Yeah, we do. And sometimes, here's the hard part of this and the hard truth, sometimes we say the wrong things with good intentions, right? We say the wrong things with good intentions. But the reverse is also true. Sometimes we say the right things with bad intentions. Both of those are trouble for our souls. Right? Even if we have good intentions, our mouth can lead us astray. That's why James considers it like a fire. If you let it loose, it destroys. And if we let our tongues loose, they can't help but destroy, even if we don't mean to. There are back when I was a kid, very few forest fires you would imagine were set intentionally. House fires set intentionally. I know there's some that are. Just like there are people who say things intentionally to hurt and demean and grieve one another. But many times, hurt comes in our lives and our families by careless words. Everybody say amen? By careless words. Now, why does our mouth get us in trouble? Well, because what the Bible tells us is out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's inside of us. That's why it's so disturbing sometimes as I've grown older when somebody, especially within the community of faith, wants to talk to me about some other member or some other person. Because sadly, what ends up happening is they don't really tell me about that person at all. They really tell me about themselves. They tell me about what's in their heart. And when you and I speak, it tells and reveals what's in our heart, our insecurities, our fears, our angers, our regrets, our frustrations, and our sin. And so, like that song, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There is no excuse. God knows what's in your heart, and not all of it's pure. Sometimes we say things to self-justify, right? To justify ourselves, justify our point of view, prove that we're not as wrong as other people might think we are. Sometimes we say things to make other people look bad, as if making them look bad would make us look any better. Sometimes we say things about people just to distract them from investigating our lives, to lead them astray so that they don't zero in and put the microscope or the magnifying glass on us. There's lots of reasons our tongues waggle. And each of us has different temptations in this area, don't we, church? Everybody say amen? Amen. We have temptations about different people. We're really good with some people and bad with others. But God is asking for more from us. To be attentive to how we use our mouth. Speaking the truth. Instead of telling falsehoods, we're called to bless others with the truth, to bless them. To let the words of our mouth be a blessing upon their lives. How many of you know that's hard to do? Raise your hand. That's a hard one, isn't it? To speak in a way that is a blessing to others. And yet it's our challenge. It's here's the biggest problem of all. You can't. And I can't. No matter how hard you try, and you all know it's true, you've said the wrong thing. Sometimes you've entered into a conversation you knew we were going to have, and you said, don't do this, don't go down that, don't go into that downward spiral with them. And you did, didn't you? And they sucked you in that whirlpool. And you spun, and then you began to add to the momentum. We've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. It's tempting. We talk about gossip. Don't go to annual conference. Some of the pastors are some of the worst gossips you've ever met. But don't get on a high horse. You're not any better. I want to say, we know those things. You can't get yourself out of it. You've tried. You've tried to be a good person. I've tried to be a good person. So how do we escape? The Bible gives us a solution. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, how shall we escape this body of death? Paul himself says that I do things I don't want to do. They're hurtful, they're wrong. I do the things I don't want to do. And the things I want to do, to be a blessing to others, to bless others with my words, I can't do them. I fail over and over again. He says, wretched man that I am, what can save me from this? Do you feel that? What can save you from this? Pastor, I hear you today, you know, you could say, and I know it's wrong, I know, but then I get to work and people start doing the things they do, saying the things they do, and what am I supposed to do? How am I to join it? It's hard not to talk that talk with others. It's hard when they talk to you and they want you to affirm them or to get you involved with them and to go down that cycle without any upward, you know, momentum. Down and down and down and down. Here is the secret. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit. God is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a little wispy thing. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. God Himself. Do you hear me? And He is with you. God Himself is with you. The Bible says no temptation comes to us that God is not willing and able to intervene for your sake if you let Him. Do you perceive in your conversations that there, you're not talking to another person? You are talking with another person and God Himself. To another person and with God Himself. He is present with you in that moment. You know, I've been in three-way conversations before, and you know, it's not infrequent that somebody say, you know, somebody says something, I said, what do you think? Right? You're asked somebody, well, what do you think about this? You know, or we're watching the game and you know, and wanted to make a play, and I'm like, what was that about? You know, did you see that? You know, we're very good at doing it with one another. We are invited to do that with God. He invites you to do that with Him. He invites you to talk to Him, to be present with Him, to acknowledge His presence with you. He knows you can't do it alone, and He has great sympathy. There's no condemnation. There's only sorrow in Him. Because He knows if those things come out, not only may another person be wounded, but you're going to be wounded. And He loves you too much. You're going to be grieved by the things you say. How many of you still, some of the things you've said in your past still haunt you? Raise your hand. They still haunt you. And they will. God doesn't want to condemn you for that. He wants to help you get out of that. And the question is, will we let Him? The Bible gives us this. He says, speak the truth in love. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible tells us God is love. Both of those things, speaking the truth in love, require God's presence in your life. An invitation from you to Him to take an active role with what you do with your mouth. You know, in the old medieval days, when the knights that were going on the Crusades, you know, one of the tales, I don't know how true it is. I'm sure there are probably a couple different accounts of this. When the priests would baptize these men and these soldiers, getting them ready for the promised land, they would dunk them in the water and baptize everything but their sword arm so that they could kill, even though God said not to murder. Isn't that crazy? Some crazy theology. It was very small places where that occurred. But sometimes that's how we treat our mouth, don't we? Sometimes that's how we treat our tongue. We say, Lord, you know what's in my heart, and I do good things, and I go to church, and I read my Bible, and I say my prayers, you know, but, you know, work's work, and that's, you know, church is church, and work is work. It's not how it is. Your life, all of it, is a relationship with the Most High God, who's with you. Jesus says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Until the end of eternity, He will never leave you. He is always with you. And He gave us Himself, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. So ask the Holy Spirit. I'm good at praying to the Father, praying to the Son. Pray to the Spirit. Spirit, help me. You're with me. Holy Spirit, guide my mouth today. If I say something wrong, give me the immediate presence of mind to apologize, to correct my words if they come out. If my tongue gets ahead of my heart and my brain, help me to rein it in like a wild horse and get it back under your control. You and I do not have the strength of will to be sinless, but God does. Ask him and invite him to help you in this area of your life. The Bible tells us, number three, speak the truth in love. You know, in the courtroom dramas, they always say, do you swear to tell the truth? What next? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Does that mean, you know, we don't talk about these little snarls in our life? Yes. Of course, we're going to need to talk and vent and those kinds of things. But in those moments, remember to tell the whole truth, your part in this drama, your sin that caused it to be, as much as you want to talk about theirs. I reminded the kids a couple of weeks ago, you remember, one of our, I think it was, wasn't it Josie, I think, that asked about sin. You know, we had to remind her, we can't confess other people's sins. That is not a redemptive act. The only sins that you can confess to your Father are your own. So when we talk about these conversations, be quick to remind others of your feet of clay as you speak about yourself and you speak about them. Speak the truth in love. Do not lie to yourself and especially to them about who you are and who you've been. You ready?
Ready.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to the table. And the reason I say this about others is one of the things the scriptures tell us is if we come here and we hold things against one another and we partake of this, we are drinking and eating judgment on ourselves. Jesus says that if you come to the altar and you have somebody has something against you, you have something against them, go and make it right. And then go come to God's altar. That's how important it is to God that we're reconciled with one another. So let's take this moment to remember him and what he's done. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, and upon these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.